Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903.
Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months charged at 9 pence per mile. Subject to availability and status. You will not own the car. 18 plus T's and C's apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2018. Vauxhall Finance Leasing.
The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast on the G-Pops Podcast Network. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin, alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berg, my tag team partner. Follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, what is going on? Another week, professional wrestling in the books. Talking about the Greatest Royal Rumble, and we're going to preview Backlash. What's going on, my man, Trendsetter? How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm getting too old for this, Jeff. I really am. It's just too much content out there. I was speaking to the Moody Barber not too long ago saying, my goodness,
nice haircut,
just too much. Thank you. Can't see under this baseball cap for collar and elbow. Free plug there. But it's just get 10% off, guys, the High Spot Podcasting. But just so much content out there, Jeff, to pay attention to. It's ridiculous. New Japan. You know, I seen the commercials for Lucha Underground coming out in season 4. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, in June.
Yeah, the greatest Royal Rumble. We probably saw the greatest Royal Rumble moment ever in the history of our lives that you and I will ever look at and watch, Jeff, personally. And now Backlash. So it's exciting, man. I can't wait for the guys, the crew, to listen to the show.
Where do we start, man? How about this? How about where do you listen to the High Spot Podcast?
You guys can listen to it in all major platforms out there. If you guys want to listen to it, check out Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating. Leave a review, guys. It only takes a few seconds. Also, check us out on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean as well.
Yeah, and our High Spot Podcast YouTube channel is up and running. We got exclusive interviews from WrestleCon this past year and also to Supercard of Honor. So listen to such stars as Marty Scurll, Adam Hangman Page, as well as other superstars at WrestleCon like Jack Swagger and Danielle Monáe, a.k.a. Summer Rae.
Summer Rae.
Remember that? That was a great interview, Trendsetter. Plus, we've got the YouTube miniseries, The Adventures with the Trendsetter. Who you got now downloaded now on that YouTube channel?
Well, if you guys go to YouTube and check it out immediately, just type in there, High Spot Podcast, subscribe to the channel, leave a thumbs up, a like. You will see my current interview with Tasha Rain, and people could say she was actually here before Roman Reign, and Jesse Jane. So
How about Romy Reign, though?
That's all I can say is oof. I'm only stuck to one syllable when I think of Romy Reign and how great that was. Lasted longer than I thought it was going to be. That's
interview,
what she said.
Interview.
Yes, it did. But, yeah, exciting. So you guys check it out. You will see Tasha Rain talking about the future of the business in terms of social media, and Jesse Jane, who's been in the business for well over 15 years. So you see the longevity and what she's done to be successful. So pretty great interviews at AVN in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Man, you're still dishing those out, huh? You're still putting those out.
Yes.
Tons of interviews, man.
There are tons.
I was so tired. You didn't even let me get some water. But you know what? That's the kind of dictator that you are, but very good interviews.
But it was worth it, though.
definitely worth it, man. You're getting the hits. You are the franchise. You are what's getting our YouTube channel all those views.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, maybe it's getting more of the attention. But again, our stuff from Ring of Honor, Supercard, our stuff from obviously the independent shows that we do, and of course what we did at WrestleCon, I think a lot of that's helping out as well.
All right, guys. So just make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Lots of great content there on a daily basis. Also, you know, just make sure you check that out, as well as all our platforms on social media, like I was talking about. And of course, just give us a like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or any platforms that you can. Download us and enjoy the High Spot Podcast every Friday for your listening pleasure. Trendsetter, so much to talk about. I know it's going to get a little bit old. We talk about the Greatest Royal Rumble, but we got to talk about that. Some of the moments from that event. I know it was last Friday, and you know, first and foremost, let me say I got my quarterback. Sam Darnold is the New York Jets,
congratulations.
Baby. So excited, man, and looking forward to what you'll do for our Jets. And you got Saquon Barkley for your New York Giants. So are you happy with that pick or what?
Yeah, I mean, I ultimately was thinking about the future in terms of, you know, hey, you know, I love Eli Manning, but again, you always want to plan for the future. Very rarely do you get in the position where you have a chance to get several franchise quarterbacks, but basically the Giants probably didn't really like the choices they had there and felt more strongly, of course, on the running back. They haven't had a running game in the last 5 seasons, I believe. Plus, they've had no offensive line either. So the Giants went for their biggest need, which was a running back right now. They're currently playing to win right now. I believe Eli still has a lot more left in the tank. So if that's the case, then you'd be dumb not to choose a running back. And hey, you know, ultimately the Giants got what they needed to get, and the Jets got what they needed to get in the draft as well.
All right, so Greatest Royal Rumble was last Friday, and we're trying to get just a quick, you know, a couple of thoughts of that event. Listen, man, I'm going to say that a lot of people are going to call it a glorified house show. A lot of people are going to say that, it was okay. But you know what? At the end of the day, WWE got a lot of money for going there to Saudi Arabia. It'll be a first of many, I believe, trips that they will be making there. Of course, they signed a 10-year deal with them. And I don't know if it's more to talking about what happened in the ring, of course, with Titus, which was probably the greatest moment
literally
in the Royal
in
Rumble.
The ring or under
literally
the ring.
In the ring or under the ring. Or was it just the ramifications of afterwards with the whole event in Saudi Arabia? A lot of people with the controversy about, you know, about them featuring that commercial they did between Raw and SmackDown, where the females are, according to them, scantily clad and, you know, not covered up right, and any kind of women's wrestling, the footage they showed at that commercial where they were doing the cross-branded Raw and SmackDown commercial and network. A lot of people, you know, took offense to that in Saudi Arabia. You know, the sporting department there had to issue an apology. And I will take it from the aspect, Trendsetter, and you can tell me, talk about the events that happened, what you caught your eye as far as the matches, but I will take it as far as the cultural aspect of what happened. I think that if you're the WWE, you want to take it to the extent of, hey, listen, this is our viewpoint that you can make progress, but it's slow. You're not going to go in there and going to change the minds of a whole, you know, country and their culture and what they believe in, but you can take a small step. Now you're getting paid tons of money, and the women were left back in the States, and what we heard from is that they're getting paid the same amount as if they had performed. So, okay, that's one issue. But the slack that WWE is getting for, you know, accepting or going to a place like that, well, I mean, it's a business decision first and foremost. So I think that to put all the iota on WWE for, you know, not, you know, for saying, hey, let's not go here because they're not, you know, progressing as far as in women's movement as much as we'd like to, or what we're pushing it as the company. But maybe, you know, we should take a step back and listen, hey, they're trying to do something. They're trying to, you know, progress, and you have to take baby steps first. This is a country that's always believed this, and this is their culture. We just can't sit in there and, you know, try and spread our beliefs, because no one would want to do that in our home, right? So that's one thing. Then the second thing is, of course, this whole Sami Zayn issue, and now they don't want anybody on the roster to mention him not going there, of course, for different religious beliefs. So, you know, for what WWE tried to do there, you're always going to get a lot of slack. So I think as far as the company-wise, I think that no matter what they did, good or bad, that you're always going to get some heat, you know, and we use that word because we're in the wrestling business. So yeah. I'm not sure what WWE was supposed to do there. And I know they had to, you know, apologize for the whole, you know, for the whole WWE Network commercial that they played in between the shows. But I'm just going to say one thing is that the partnership's not going to end. They're going to be there for a while. They're going to go back there in November, I believe. So as far as them trying to progress, I don't know how far it will progress in those 10 years, but you have to believe that it's going to be a slow process, and I'm not sure that we should, you know, think that WWE is going to change the world, because they're not. You know, so that's just my thoughts on the cultural aspect. Now, you, Trendsetter, as far as what we saw in the ring, what were your thoughts on it, and especially the championship matches? Because there are a lot of stuff that we predicted. We thought we were going to see a title change by Roman Reigns. We thought we were going to see Nakamura. I thought he was going to win it. You said AJ Styles was going to defend it. Just what were your thoughts of the whole match? Whole matches at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Well, what I took from it when we broke it down originally, we were breaking down the card of all the events and obviously previewing what the outcomes were going to be, is I thought, you know, the way they were promoting this was going to be equivalent to, if not better, I feel, in my opinion, than what they did for WrestleMania in New Orleans. Because they were just building up because it was the first time they were going to be in Saudi Arabia for an event this big, of this magnitude, the Greatest Royal Rumble event, with 50 men. So from that standpoint, there's a lot to be expected. Now, for me personally, and you know, this is where people get kind of upset with me sometimes, because they feel, especially you, Jeff, you think I'm always nitpicky and I'm very stingent on things that I break down. But you know, ultimately, besides seeing the crowd kind of explode and get really excited for Triple H and John Cena to open up the card, for the most part, it didn't really get a crowd reaction from it. I don't know if it had to do with the acoustics of the arena. I know sometimes when you have a dome or a stadium, the sound doesn't really come down, but we've seen WrestleMania events on the network, or we've seen pay-per-view events where that doesn't happen. And for the matches, a lot of them were kind of lackluster in the sense that a lot of them, timing-wise, was very off. It looked like I wouldn't say they took a day off, but basically, you know, it wasn't the crispest thing you ever saw, especially when you talk about the United States Championship match with Jinder Mahal and Jeff Hardy, which is, a complete train wreck. I think this Shinsuke Nakamura AJ Styles match was better than WrestleMania. The way they ended it, most people might be upset because it was a countout, but again, it leads up, obviously, to Backlash, which we'll talk about in a few. And then the title change was something that, you know, you and I were debating back and forth. I'm sure a lot of people are upset with it. It's pitted in controversy because of the rules of the match. You can either win by pinfall, submission, or both feet touching the cage first. Roman Reigns' feet actually did. The spot they tried to do was kind of creative, but ultimately Brock Lesnar retains the title. I think the reason why he retained the title is, I'm not going to go as far to say that they've given up on the whole Roman Reigns experiment. No. People who say that, I don't believe it. It's more just delay it, because eventually Roman Reigns is the face of that company, because John Cena isn't getting any younger. And Brock Lesnar will eventually leave. But I think ultimately the goal was to keep Brock Lesnar champion right now, because right now if you put the title on Roman, it's not going to really work. And they're really building up for the fact that Brock Lesnar is setting up to eventually fight back in the UFC. And if you have a dual champion like that, a Universal and possibly a UFC heavyweight champion, that could be big money, especially big money for the WWE, to the general audience. So ultimately, it was a good event, comedical times with Titus O'Neil, but ultimately, to me, it didn't live up the expectations of how much they tried to build up the card.
Yeah, totally agree on that. And as far as the Shinsuke and AJ Styles, I'm not sure if you know, the title will change hands now at Backlash. I'm not really sure where they're going with it, because watching SmackDown and seeing Samoa Joe now, and now I'm excited about that match. Joe's just been killing it with the promos, and
we know he can kill it on the ring.
Exactly. And now when you think of, you know, an AJ Styles Samoa Joe, here's the funny thing too. Like, we were thinking about, oh, Shinsuke and AJ, but now we're thinking about, wow, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles would be a great matchup too. But again, Shinsuke and AJ, to me, has not delivered yet. I think their matchup at the Greatest Royal Rumble was probably their best matchup that they've had. Now, I don't know. Now, you've seen them wrestle a lot now, so I don't know, you know, how much more they can give for
Backlash. Really seen them wrestle a lot. We've only seen them wrestle at WrestleMania, and then they've wrestled here at the Royal Rumble. Now, this is going to be the third go-around. I agree with you right now in terms of, you know, the likelihood of AJ Styles going up against the Samoa Joe is probably more intriguing than having the title now in Shinsuke. But this is what I said to a colleague of mine once. I want to get your take on it. It was so exciting. It's like, eventually, you think with all these low blows that Shinsuke is doing, he's obsessed with low-blowing AJ Styles, you think ultimately the payoff would be that the babyface overcomes that, since this is going to be a no disqualification match, and that's going to happen. So, you know,
yeah,
in this situation,
this is screaming AJ wearing a cup at Backlash.
It is, and it's also kind of screaming the fact that if this is going to be the end of this rivalry for this moment, and AJ is going to move on to something else while still being WWE champion, where does Shinsuke go from here? You turned him for a particular reason, And now, once that it's over, he's going kind of left in purgatory now.
If AJ outsmarts Shinsuke Nakamura, it's going to kill this heel turn. So I really think that it would be really a necessity for Shinsuke Nakamura to come out victorious at Backlash. We're going to get to Backlash in just a little bit, though. But just my final thought, too, on the Greatest Royal Rumble. Of course, we said Braun Strowman is going to win. That was, without a shadow of a doubt, the best pick we've ever made, too, because it was pretty obvious.
Would you say a lot of this card was kind of predictable besides the Universal title match?
Oh, yeah, very predictable, yeah. Too, especially because of them going to the brands and the, you know, with Backlash being set up, it was kind of, you know, didn't really leave the door open for a lot of shockers.
Well, it's like you said, it felt like a glorified live event because we knew that things were setting up towards Backlash.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then the only thing I would say about the whole, you know, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns is that, you know, the first thing I thought, which is funny, I know that both feet need to touch the ground, but I was thinking, okay, Brock hit first. So that immediately I thought that he had won. But then, you know, the rule is 2 feet hit the floor. Now there's video footage of Roman Reigns. Actually, 1 foot is up on the apron. So I'm not really sure where they're going with it. I'm not even sure WWE had to address it. But here's another instance where Roman Reigns could have played off of this, or WWE could have played off of this as far as Roman Reigns being a heel, because Roman Reigns came out the next Monday night to chorus of boos, and how great was that crowd in Montreal? Kudos to that crowd in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
They were on fire the whole night, especially, you know, given the cheap pops, and no pun intended there, to a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But how great were they towards Roman Reigns? They're booing the hell out of him. But listen, if Roman Reigns is going to go on the stance that he is the uncrowned champion, that he won it, he should say to the fans, I'm the champion you guys deserve. I'm the champion that's here all the time. And that could come out heelish too, because he's telling them what kind of champion they deserve. And I thought that would have been a great opportunity for have a kind of like a shade of gray with Roman Reigns. He could have told him, listen, you don't need a guy like Brock Lesnar. Trust me, I know what you guys need. And that would have been a perfect opening there to do it. But, of course, that's not what they're going to do. They want Roman Reigns in the long run to be a face. The easy thing is to make him heel. And a lot of people say, hey, the second he turns heel, they're going to cheer him. But you know what? You got to go through one thing. You're not going to let the crowd always dictate, even though, you know, they should for the majority, because the crowd does pay for it. You can't let them dictate on what they're going to do with Roman Reigns. Although I think it's desperation, desperately needs to be a heel, but we'll see what happens with that. But again, we thought that Brock Lesnar was going to lose it in Saudi Arabia.
I said he was going to retain it.
You said he was going to retain it.
I told you he was going to retain it.
I was wrong.
You thought there was going to be a title change.
And I thought the title change was going to happen between Shinsuke and AJ Styles, but I do believe that was the best match that they've had in their rivalry so far. But again, Backlash just screams of AJ Styles wearing a steel cup or outsmarting Shinsuke. Oh, yeah. But
and just one thing on Roman, though, you're right. I wouldn't go as far as to kind of to figure out what Roman should have said, but you could tell that's the direction the WWE is going. They're kind of protecting him. Now, here's the thing that I find confusing, right?
You need to keep him away, though. I think the crowd's had their fill of Roman and Brock, right?
Well, yeah, I think they've had their fill of it. But here's the thing. If you still keep it that way and eventually it becomes the equivalent where, you know, time after time Roman fails and finally when nobody believes in that's going to happen, he finally defeats Brock Lesnar and becomes Universal Champion, if that's the ultimate goal. But here's the thing that I find confusing. He goes out and says what he needs to say for him to kind of stay face, the fact that he wasn't beaten this time. He just lost by sheer circumstance. But ultimately,
yeah, by the referee's decision,
they're trying to make him out to be a victim here.
Yeah.
And it's not working, because you would think after every single time he fails, the crowd would be more sympathetic. It's actually the opposite from what I'm seeing. The crowd's more enjoying the fact that he's failing over and over again.
Yeah, when you look like Roman, no one's going to feel sorry for you.
Yeah, right? And I just think that's, you know, I scratch my head when the WWE is trying to make him as the underdog in a situation where I think nobody, especially the crew listening, would confuse Roman Reigns as an underdog.
Yeah, all right, Trendsetter, we've got a great interview too also, by the way, here. We've got a special guest, Michelle Dahlia, who's an up-and-coming actress, model, and wrestler. She will join us in just a few minutes. We'll talk about her career and the hustle that she has to do to live out her dream, and a little bit of inspiring thing, her story, right?
Jeff, this is what I love when we start talking to talent on the show, just to see their drive and their determination to do something that they ultimately love to do. And whether it happened by circumstance or by chance, it doesn't matter. it falls into the realm that they love what they're doing, and they understand that the hustle guys you listen to every single time and you guys read about it, it's real, and they do everything they can to get themselves in the spotlight where they get better each time. And just the drive and determination by Michelle and talking to you guys will listen to it during the interview is just, you know, something similar to like all the guests we've had on the show, Jeff. It's inspiring. It's basically go after your dream and don't look back, and Michelle's doing it 100%.
So Michelle Dahlia will join us in just a few minutes. But going back to Brock Lesnar, there's one thing that a lot of people have written about recently and a lot of stuff that's been discussed is, can Brock Lesnar, will he eventually break CM Punk's 434 days? Do you think that's something that is on the horizon? You think it's something that WWE thinks about when they're trying to book when Brock will drop that championship to Roman Reigns? Or do they think that they just hate CM Punk that much that that's on Vince's mind?
Well, can the WWE be vengeful? Yeah, they can. They basically did the same thing to CM Punk's girlfriend when Nikki Bella became the longest reigning champion. At that time, Divas champion, surpassing AJ Lee. But basically, is it possible? I don't think, Jeff, that was the original plan of theirs. I think, obviously, the original plan was for Brock Lesnar to drop the title to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania after they built him up so much. Of course, as we know in this crazy business that we love, plans change. They get altered very frequently. So, maybe is that a new goal of theirs, maybe, to make Brock Lesnar the longest reigning Universal Champion, I guess? Sure, why not?
Well, I think he already is, but I just think that that championship reign, as far as championship reigns, I think it's one of the longest ones now. If he were to surpass CM Punk,
yeah, but then
that.
If you want to get nitpicky,
in the modern era, in
championship reigns, yeah, I mean,
because Bruno's one was forever, you know, that was like 7 years.
Nobody's ever going to surpass
such in that.
But basically,
Brock Lesnar, you never know, he is that good. But,
nobody can be Father Time, Jeff. But ultimately, yeah, I think that's wasn't the original plan, but I think ultimately now the WWE is kind of aware of it, and so why not? Because obviously Brock Lesnar gives them is basically their property in a sense because they have him under contract and kind of want to wipe away the whole whatever these records are. I mean, these records always have an asterisk behind them, Jeff.
But it's more because of CM Punk. It's not just because it's a record. It's because Vince sees it's like, oh, wait a minute, now it's good to stick it to the crowd. Do you think that they're still that spiteful to CM Punk?
Yeah, I think so, because they did the same thing to Brock Lesnar when he left to go to the NFL.
Yeah,
and then they made Randy Orton the youngest reigning, the youngest individual to ever win a championship.
Who'd he beat?
He beat somebody that's been erased from the record books. His name's Chris Benoit, guys.
Yeah.
And that
wrestling.
Was one of amazing matches of SummerSlam. But at the same time, again, the WWE can't be spiteful. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's their motive behind it.
All right, guys. We've got a Backlash preview on the other side. Plus, we're going to wish some happy birthdays. A very happy anniversary, too, to the Bullet Club. We'll talk about that on the other side. But right now, talking to Michelle Dahlia. You can follow her on Twitter at DivaDahliaM. And the interview is sponsored by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out their entire spring fashion line of 2018 by going to CollarXElbowBrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HighSpotPodcast, all in caps. Definitely need that money for the summertime, so make sure you use promo code HighSpotPodcast in caps. All right, now here is our interview with Michelle Dahlia. We talk about everything from acting to hustling from her daytime job to everything that it takes to be a professional wrestler. Here is Michelle Dahlia on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, we got another great episode, another great interview, and joining us right now.
You know, you always say that. It's always a great episode.
Oh, but I mean
it's always going to be a great interview.
But you know, I mean it. When every time I say it, I mean it. And this one's no exception. We're joined by Michelle Dahlia. You know her as Dolce Dahlia in the world of professional wrestling. She is a actress, model, and also a manager for current tag team champions in ECPW. What's going on, Michelle? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, Michelle. So listen, women's wrestling is at an all-time high. How great is it to be in women's wrestling right now, knowing that there's such a demand for it?
It's amazing, knowing that there's like so many opportunities for women's wrestling right now, and there's just really such an opening for us, and there's a need for us as well. So everywhere you go, you know, people are eager to see you, get to know you, and book you. So it's a really exciting time, and I'm just enjoying every second of it.
Now, Michelle, what kind of drove you into the world of professional wrestling? Because I knew that you basically enjoyed acting at a very young age, wanted to get into that. So what led you into the roles of this crazy lifestyle that we love and we live vicariously through you guys, professional wrestling?
Yeah, so my acting background definitely attracted me to wrestling because it's performance. You know, it's sports entertainment, yes, but you're a character and you're playing to the crowd and you're doing it for them, to entertain them. So once I noticed that, you know, there was a storyline and people were taking on different personas, I just kind of got lost in it and I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I just thought it was so captivating and I was really reluctant to get started in it because I thought it was just kind of like a fever dream, like, oh, it's impossible. I could never be a professional wrestler. But then it just kind of dawned on me one day where I was like, you know what? I've had a lot of success as a professional actress. If I can do that, why can't I do that? So I just kind of took the leap and started training, found a wrestling school, and everything just kind of fell into place. My acting background definitely helped with my training and getting my start because I wasn't afraid to take on a different persona and just, you know, really commit to it and be over the top, be entertaining and try new things, take risks. So being a performer first definitely helped my wrestling and it just all came together in the end. So I'm really, really glad I took the risk because it's the most fun I've ever had performing in anything.
All right, so this is the most fun you've ever had. Is this the hardest thing you've ever tried or has acting still been the hardest thing?
Yeah, no, it definitely is the hardest thing I've ever tried because you know, you're basically doing stunts in your body and you're flipping and you're throwing yourself and, you know, it's scary at first. And but not only that, like learning the moves, putting the moves together in a match in a sequence that makes sense and is also interesting for the crowd and the audience. There's a lot of psychology that goes into it. And you also just have to be fit and able to do those things with your body and work with your partner, not against them. So there's so many challenging factors involved and still hard. I'm still like trying to grasp it and, you know, trying hard every day to become a better wrestler. And it's definitely a journey and it's definitely harder than a lot of the acting work I did. I had no idea it was going to be this difficult when I first started.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest take that Jeff and I take away when we speak to talent, especially either they're starting off or whether they've been in the business for a good significant amount of time. It's always the feeling it's a lot easier than they thought or a lot difficult than they thought it was going to be. In terms of being a character, you talked about your acting background. I mean, do you enjoy more of being the babyface side or the heel side of really getting under people's skin? Which one do you prefer the best?
I definitely prefer being a heel. That's what came naturally to me. Whenever I work babyface in, you know, a practice match, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. It's so much easier to be rude and obnoxious and, you know, have no rules really and just be someone that you can't be in real life. It's not socially acceptable to be rude and, you know, insult people. So
it's fun,
to be
isn't
over
it?
The top, it's fun. Yeah. It's like, you know, you have a free pass to do whatever you want. And, you know, I learned in acting school, it's really easy to be someone else, but it's really hard to be yourself. And it's the same thing with being a wrestling character. If I, you know, have to be an everyday girl in the ring, that's really hard. Like, how do I make that fun and entertaining to people? But if I get to be this obnoxious, narcissistic, over-the-top, evil character, you know, my creative mind just goes wild. And I do things I never would have thought of or pre-planned because it's improv and you just do it on the fly and it's so much fun.
Now, Michelle, a lot of people say too that we've spoken to, you know, it's the biggest quote out there that a lot of the characters that are really well done are extensions of yourself with the volume turned up really high. So how much would you say your character right now, which you say comes very natural to you, is an extension of yourself?
I would say Dolce is my alter ego and she certainly is to a certain degree an extension of myself because I'm very glamorous and I like lavish things and I might like tap into that alter ego in real life with my friends just to entertain them, whether we're like fooling around at work or if we're out at a bar. I just kind of like,
oh, so at a bar she comes out basically.
Yeah. Like I, you know, I just kind of like tap into Dolce half joking, but half serious. And you know, I'm not a mean person, but I can be,
of course you're not
you know,
a mean
like
person. You're just so sweet right
time.
Now, yeah.
Well,
if you ask the ECPW crowd, if you ask the ECPW crowd, they might beg to differ.
Yes, exactly.
But Michelle, who have? All right, so you do the acting and you do the wrestling. Who have you taken bits and pieces of? Is it more actresses in Hollywood, or have you taken a look at former managers in wrestling, professional wrestling, like maybe a sensational Sherry who was awesome at drawing heat? Has there been anybody in wrestling or acting that you've taken bits and pieces from to try to, you know, build your persona?
Yeah, so I kind of drew from both, you know, movies and wrestlers themselves. Like, I did study the woman from the past, like Sensational Sherry. But right now, my biggest inspiration is The Miz, because I think he's phenomenal on the mic. He's a great heel, and I just love his tone and his inflection when he's speaking, and the things that he says are so funny. And, you know, even though he's a guy, he's a heel, and I can relate to that. And I just really look up to his promo skills. So he's a big inspiration for my character. And then also, like, Elle Woods from Legally Blonde, like, even though she's, you know, a nice person and Dolce the heel, she's not very nice. She's, you know, a self-sufficient, blonde woman, independent, bossy, go-getter, on top of the world kind of thing. Like, Dolce may be mean and rude and evil, but she's a businesswoman and she gets things done and she doesn't let anyone stand in her way. So yeah, and a little bit of Alexa Bliss because she's also a heel and she's super entertaining and she throws hissy fits in the ring and so does Dolce.
Now, when it comes to, like, for example, I think a lot of people who are listening to our show don't really realize the difficulty, not only the physicality that goes along with professional wrestling, which you're learning, and it becomes pretty grueling after a while, but in terms of the mental state, you said it yourself, you're becoming a character, you're becoming a persona. So when you step in the middle of that ring, or you're in front of that camera, do you feel a sense of comfort doing it, or is it still kind of a nerve-wracking thing when you have to go out there and they say, listen, you have to do a promo on such and such, here's go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and do it?
Yeah, there's both like a sense of comfort and also my other part of me freaking out because, you know, it's all improv and it's on the fly. Like, you might have an outline in your mind of what you're going to say for your promo and your intentions, but you're not memorizing a script and bringing it out there. You're feeling the crowd and playing off of them, but you don't want to play off of them too much because then you'll get lost, and you also won't want to ignore them. And then sometimes they're just going so wild, you can't shut them up and you need to get your promo done, and because you only have a certain amount of time, so all those crazy factors, you know, can make it very challenging, and it gets my nerves going. But then I'm also super comfortable because I love, you know, being on stage or being in the ring and entertaining and having that creative freedom to say whatever I want and just kind of stir the pot and bring some heat. It's so fun because you can really do whatever you want with it.
You're talking to Dolce Dahlia. You can catch her in ECPW. So talk about your start in ECPW. Was that the launching pad for you? Where else have you performed? You know, where did you get your start as far as, like, training for wrestling?
So ECPW is where I started and where I started doing shows as well. I haven't branched out and done shows anywhere else yet because still, like, in the very beginning stages of training as a wrestler. And I haven't had any bookings as a manager elsewhere, but I want to wait until my wrestling is really show ready to take bookings elsewhere to, you know, so I'm taken seriously and, you know, I don't look like too new or inexperienced. But I most recently started training with Damian Adams and he is amazing. He teaches ring psychology really well. And even just the warm up makes me like blown up and winded. It's just, he gives you an amazing workout and he prepares his girls, you know, for big tryouts and there's big opportunities with him and he books you on big shows. So I'm really excited to see where my journey leads with him.
Now, we're talking about journey, Michelle. You can't forget the fact that you said your acting background was a big influence in terms of you transitioning into the world of professional wrestling. So speak to me about your acting career in terms of what got you started. Was it a certain movie? Was it a play you went to that made you want to say to yourself, I want to pursue acting as a life?
Ever since I could remember, when I was a little girl, I said that I wanted to be an actress or a fashion designer. And then halfway through elementary school, I kind of like mixed the fashion designer idea. And I was just so hell-bent on becoming an actress, and I hadn't even done a play yet. I don't even remember, you know, there being a specific movie or an actor that inspired me. There was just something inside of me that said, I want to be an actress, and I'm not going to be anything else. So I did my first play when I was in middle school, and I got bit by the acting bug, and I never looked back, and I started taking classes. And
what was the name of the
I started
play?
Taking it. So,
What was the name of the play you did in middle school?
My first play that I ever did was The Wizard of Oz in sixth grade, and I was a munchkin. I was basically like an extra, you know, I had no lines, but to me it was the best thing in the world, and that's when I started taking classes, and I would get super competitive when it came to auditions. Like, it was all or nothing. Like, I was gone for a role, and if I didn't get it, it was like the end of the world to me. And knowing that I'm putting all that energy into something, I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do with my life.
So down the road, when you do, you know, get more experience in wrestling and professional wrestling, and you do get in the ring more, what do you see yourself more as? Do you see yourself more as getting more into acting, into wrestling, or both?
I think both, definitely. Kind of like The Miz and John Cena, how they rock both two movies and still get in the ring and wrestle. I'm not, you know, just focused on one thing. I have a lot of goals and a lot of dreams. But I would like to utilize both as pathways to one another and just like collaborate, because that's what it's all about, being an artist, you know, and a performer. Get your name out in one field and then it opens up so many doors in another.
Not only is she an opportunist, but this woman is a hustler. She goes out there and gets it. I mean, because now another thing is, you know, you're in real estate as well. Speak about that a little
bit. Yeah, so being an actress and a wrestler, I need a flexible schedule, and I wait on tables for that, you know, source of income while I'm in between acting jobs. But I just got to a point where it wasn't cutting it anymore. It wasn't fun anymore, and, you know, I wanted a better lifestyle and a more fulfilling day-to-day life and job. And I had met people in the field of, like, wrestling and modeling that do real estate. And they say it's so much fun and it's a flexible schedule. And that's what I found with it. Like, I can create my own hours, and I'm an independent contractor. So, you know, I'm not required to be in the office all day, every day. I can work from home. And it just seems like a better way to manage all my careers and also have a more fulfilling life and help people and feel like I'm, you know, doing something more with my life than going to the restaurant every day and doing that to make money. So far it's been really fun, and I have great clients who I'm helping to find homes, and I'm really excited to do everything and manage my day-to-day life in a way that is more fulfilling.
Well, I mean, Dolce Dahlia has to, she wants to, you know, fit the lifestyle.
She's
definitely have to, you know, get those commission paychecks, right?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully one day.
If Dolce wants those, you know, those Louis Vuitton bags and stuff like that, she's going to have to, you know.
Yeah, they don't pay for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but you know what's awesome is too, like, for example, you live in the lifestyle, right? And, you know, when you talk about, like, that kind of heat, you get, like, you know, Ric Flair when he lived the lifestyle too. So, you know, that's awesome, man. And the hustle's real, right? You know, in professional wrestling, the hustle's real. You got to, you know, get your name out there and work a lot of stuff. But one final one for me is, right now in the state of professional wrestling and just being on the independent scene, just your thoughts of just kind of like the rejuvenation of pro wrestling, kind of, because kind of had a little bit of a lull in the middle, but now as far as with social media and stuff like that, how better is it for you to brand yourself now than maybe it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you bring that up. I took a seminar with Molly Holly a few months ago, and she was talking about that. She was saying when she got her start in the WWE, there was no social media, and there was no way to, you know, watch your match instantly or post your match instantly or brand yourself like that. And now we have all these opportunities to just do that in an instant and really get our name out there. Like, I feel like not many people would know about me if I were a wrestler, you know, in the early 2000s or the 90s. But the fact that I've gotten the amount of attention that I've gotten in this amount of time is really incredible. So I've definitely been utilizing social media and been getting my name out there the way that I had imagined, and dressing the way I dress and posting it and branding myself like that. It's been very helpful.
Well, you can definitely tell it's been helpful. I mean, if you look at your social media and all the you know, the hits you're getting and things like that, of posting your matches and stuff that you've done material-wise, whether it be in acting or professional wrestling, it's kind of that instant thing where, you know, people can immediately see it, which is great, as opposed to maybe 10 years ago that wasn't the case. Michelle, one final one for me, though, is that, you know, I know it's still early on in your wrestling career. You're still kind of learning the ropes in terms of, you know, in the ring, and you're always trying to progress and get better each day, whether it be in acting or wrestling, whatever comes forward, or real estate, for example. But my question to you is, you spoke a little bit about it in terms of trying to balance everything out, you know, trying to have something that was flexible to your schedule, which is why you went to real estate, because waiting tables and stuff like that wasn't really working for you. Have you had the ability right now, although it's still early, to kind of enjoy the journey rather than worrying so much about the destination?
Yeah, I mean, I have those moments where I feel so consumed with everything. Like this past week, I would go straight from all my real estate activities during the day to work at the restaurant, and, you know, like literally change into my uniform in the work bathroom because I had no time. And, yeah, you know, my gym life was like slacking a little bit this week, and my room's a mess. And I feel like right now, since it's the very beginning, I'm spreading myself a little thin, yeah, because I kind of have to, like, I can't really leave the restaurant until I'm confident in real estate and the income I'm making in real estate. So right now I'm doing it all, and, you know, I'm not getting a lot of sleep, and certain things are taking the backseat, like my acting career. Like, I don't have time to go on auditions right now or even look for auditions online. So right now all I'm doing is focusing on real estate, wrestling, and trying to get out of the restaurant. So it's a lot, and sometimes it's hard to just enjoy the day as it comes. And they say, like, don't let the day run you, you run the day. And I have to remind myself that from time to time so I can still enjoy it, you know?
Awesome, man. I mean, it just is like kind of like inspirational to anyone that wants to get in the business or chase their dream, right? What would your advice be to anybody that's chasing their dreams, kind of has a doubt, or kind of is like, shouldn't I? What would be your message?
My message would be to just go for it and dive in, and don't look back, and don't let anybody tell you no. I doubted myself going into wrestling so many times, and I put it off for a few years, and it's made me so happy doing it now, and the opportunities came so much faster than I would have ever imagined. So don't ever doubt yourself, because you might be better at it than you actually think. And also with real estate, like, I didn't think I would have success, and I started showing houses like very shortly after I got my license, and I had my first offer out within a month of having my license. I mean, the offer didn't end up becoming accepted, but it was still a step. And, you know, I've been doing things in real estate that I didn't think I was capable of. And I'm really glad I did it, because I've done a lot so far, and I can only imagine how much more will come next.
Well, you can tell, yeah, the tone of her voice. She's loving what she's doing in the world of professional wrestling. And, I get to say it, speak on behalf of the Jersey Ren crew, we love what you're doing as well, and can't wait to see what the future holds for you. When's the next time the fans can see you at an ECPW event?
The next time the fans can see me.
Oh, wait, let me rephrase that. I'm sorry, Michelle. When's the next time the audience will be graced with your presence at an ECPW event? I need to say that correctly. My fault. Exactly.
The pleasure is all theirs.
Yes.
So the next time the audience can rule over me at an ECPW event is May 11th at 106 Bergen Avenue at the Knights of Columbus in Richfield Park at 7:30.
Awesome. And where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at La Dolce Dahlia, and that's Dahlia, D-A-L-I-A. It's not spelled like the flower. And on Twitter, I am Eva Dahlia F.
So we will hope to see you on May 11th. We'll definitely check that event out and, you know, say hello. And
Of course. Now it has to happen.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Dolce has to meet the Jersey Wrecking crew in person. But here's the thing, though. There might be an issue, because you do manage a tag team, so they might feel a little bit threatened by meeting the Jersey Wrecking crew. They might think we're kind of honing in your managerial skills and opportunities. So I hope that's not going to be a problem when we go down there.
Well, you know what? Dolce rules everything, and nobody's better than Dolce, so I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah, no, we don't want to cause a rift there. We just want to
peacefully
meet Dolce. Yeah, exactly. So Dolce,
who doesn't want to meet Dolce?
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. Listen, now you're probably sell a house pretty soon, so enjoy the commission check when it comes in. All right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Awesome. All right, Trendsetter, what a great interview. The hustle is real, and we wish nothing but the best for Michelle. And, man, she's really making her mark, and she's got that she loves to be a heel. That's what she definitely feels more comfortable with, and we just hope for nothing but success. Great story, and we thank her for joining us, Trendsetter.
It's amazing, Jeff. Like I said, I never get tired of listening to these types of stories. The hustle is very real, but the passion and desire is also very real. So you get that when you speak to Michelle in terms of, you know, paying your dues and kind of knowing where it is she wants to go. And what I ultimately love is her enthusiasm for what it is she does, and she's passionate about it, and she's constantly always trying to improve, which is all you can ask for somebody who's starting out in the wrestling business and wants to get better. So, you know, I would wish her luck,
you
Jeff,
know.
But luck is for losers, and I think Michelle is not a loser. She's going to do great, and I can't wait to see her progression and have her back on the show.
Definitely. So thank you, Michelle. You can follow her on Twitter at Diva Dahlia M. So now it's time for your Backlash preview. You're going to run over the card. It's going to be live from our backyard this Sunday at The Rock, the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, exclusively on the WWE Network, 7 o'clock, 1 hour pre-show. And listen, it's not 4 hours, not 5 hours. It's going to be a 3-hour show. So if you're thinking about, oh, my God, is it going to be like the other pay-per-views? No, it's going to be 3 hours. So let's run down the card real quick.
Oh, thank God.
Right? I know, right? So let's look at the card. Daniel Bryan against Big Cass. Of course, Big Cass. Oh, let's give it up for Daniel Bryan, too, at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Lasting there, breaking the record over an hour in the ring. And he just came off of, you know, being out of action for almost three years. And
does he really break a record, though, or does he set a new record? Because this is the first ever 50 men over the top rope battle royal.
I guess it's still a rumble. I mean, if you want to
Rey Mysterio was a 30-man royal rumble.
I guess it's more impressive because it's a 50-man, right?
Yeah, I would say so. But again, I think it stands on its own. People want to compare it to breaking Rey Mysterio's record. And I don't know. This 50, 30, my math is off a little bit, but it's kind of different, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's more impressive, though, with this 50-man. But
still, yes, quite impressive with Daniel Bryan. My goodness, Jeff, we never thought we would ever see him in the ring. For him to last as long as he did, basically had hamburger on his chest, Jeff. Roderick Strong destroyed his chest, still in there. And, hey, if this is what Daniel Bryan loves to do.
He loved every second of it, man. Was the happiest guy ever backstage.
More power to you, man.
So what do you think? Daniel Bryan and Big Cass, of course, Big Cass eliminated him at the Greatest Royal Rumble, and now the feud is set. I'm not really a fan of the lead-up as far as Big Cass with that little Daniel Bryan. I just think it's Vince McMahon going back circa of Bret Hart when Shawn Michaels had little, you know, Bret Hart come down the ring. You know, it's the Vince McMahon sophomoric humor.
It's what we call
that he only finds funny.
What would we call this?
I don't know. What do you call
cheap
it?
Cheap heat.
Cheap heat?
It's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And that's just living proof for the buildup of this. I mean, it's a classic thing, Jeff. David versus Goliath. The big, gigantic bully against the small kid or the small guy that, you know, works really hard. And the tall, gigantic bully is feeling insecure that nobody's giving the attention he deserves. Really excited to see Big Cass back.
Are you really excited?
I was excited to see him come back because I thought we were going to see something different. But unfortunately for me, it's kind of been right where he's left off. Now, here's the thing. His promo ability has improved drastically since he first started going solo after he separated himself from Enzo Amore. People were questioning about that. Exactly. So, yeah, that was exciting to see him kind of go through a new dynamic in that sense for a character. But ultimately, I see Big Cass going over on this one. I think Daniel Bryan has no problem putting him over. And again, you know, in terms of the long-time investment, I think they really see a lot of potential in Big Cass. And I see potential there, too. Whether it's going to come out or not, I have no idea in the upcoming months and year leading up to the following WrestleMania, see where he goes from there in a year. But basically, I see Big Cass winning this one, and I don't think this ends. This continues on, but again, Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. It'll be interesting to see how Big Cass can live up to facing somebody like Daniel Bryan of his stature.
Yeah, it's going to be a step up in competition for Big Cass, definitely. We'll see how he can handle being in a match with someone like Daniel Bryan.
But what do you got in this one, Jeff?
I'm going to say Big Cass, just because, again, it would make no sense for him to lose this. I could see where there's like a count out or Big Cass just continues to destroy Daniel Bryan, but I believe that it really helps Big Cass come out with a victory here. So that's why I'm going to go with Big Cass. Really doesn't hurt Daniel Bryan in the long run, because it's setting up for Daniel Bryan versus Miz anyway. So I think this is just a match to get Big Cass over. We move ahead now. Now, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Now, this is a match from about 2 weeks ago on Raw where, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were destroyed. Of course, Sami Zayn went with the whole, too injured to compete at the Greatest Royal Rumble. That's why he supposedly didn't go, but we know it was for other reasons. But now we get the rematch, and it looks like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn now are stuck with them fighting authority wherever they go, and them having to face the repercussion of going against authority, and now they're taking out all the big guys. And I don't know if I'm comfortable with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in that role, because I believe they can do so much better. But that's the role that they're given right now, and given the fact that Braun Strowman is coming off winning the Greatest Royal Rumble, and that for some reason they love Bobby Lashley, which, let's just say right now, it's been a very underwhelming return for Bobby Lashley.
I would agree.
I'm going to go with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley here getting the win over Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, just because, they're taking on authority, and I'm pretty sure soon enough Stephanie McMahon will come in, and she will, start, helping out Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Does it happen here? I don't believe so. So I'm going to go with Braun and Bobby Lashley come out victorious in this.
I'd hate to agree with you like I always do, but I have to agree with you on this sense. The momentum that they're pushing Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley since his return, which it has been underwhelming as well. Unfortunately, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens find themselves on a roster similar to what happened on SmackDown, where there seems to be no sense of direction of what they want to do with them. They challenge authority, but at the same time, they're pitted with each other, as opposed to, as much as it's entertaining to see these two together, I think they're better off separated as individual stars themselves. So, yeah, I see Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley coming out victorious and still trying to figure out what direction they plan on doing with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Right now, I think right now this is the reality that they face, that they're going to be pitted in this type of scenario, because even though I say Kevin and Sami, what do you do with them? I think WWE still trying to figure out what to do with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley.
I mean, you can only keep Braun away so much longer from that WWE Universal Championship. But goddamn, man, he deserves to have it. He's the one that deserves the rocket ship right now, because he's the one that's actually performing and rolling with the ball. He's taking that brass ring. So reward the guy. Reward the guy. And that's also what frustrates
coming,
us too.
Jeff, but
that's what frustrates us too, because here's the guy who's taking the ball, he's rolling with it, and you continue to give it to Roman Reigns. So obviously, whether it's his fault or not, he's not rolling with the ball.
Now, yeah, right. You're right on that end, but I think right now from a company standpoint, Jeff, let's say, for example, you're running WWE, right? How great would that be? Hey, can I get a job, Jeff?
I don't know. Maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be, but
It doesn't seem like it's all cracked up to be. But it's a full-time job. It's got some pretty good benefits, right? So why not take it? Maybe the salary's not as bad. But that being said, with Braun Strowman, I think people fail to see, Jeff, it takes a lot of trust to give the whole company to a guy like Braun Strowman. Not saying that he's not ready. I think he's going to be ready sooner than later. But right now, I think the amount of momentum he has and the more he can build off that is going to be better for him in the long run. I would want to prevent putting the title on him just for that mere factor that if you do it, and then he's not drawing as much because then people get sick and tired of it, or just, for example, want to go in another direction, you don't want to hurt your investment, everything you've done to build up Braun Strowman. So that's why I hold off on the title. Do I think he is going to eventually get it? Yes. I think he's better qualified in terms of being over with the crowd and having more sense of what his character is than Roman Reigns. But right now, I don't think it's the time for Braun Strowman.
I have a theory on another character here eventually when we get to this matchup too, but I'll save that one too. But here's a matchup that looks great on paper. When you look at it, you're like, whoa, this is a great match. But I think in the end will be probably another worst match of the night. And that is the WWE U.S. Championship between Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. On paper, you see these two names, you're thinking, man, this is going to be a great matchup. But listen, yeah. Jeff Hardy, I don't know what's going on, man. Seems a little bit off. Do I want to blame gender on it? Maybe, but it takes two to tango. And Randy Orton, let's be honest with Randy Orton.
No, you've always been honest when it comes to Randy Orton.
All right. Love the guy when he comes in, the entrance, he does, puts the arms up, and then the bell rings, and this is a guy, to me, that for the last few years has kind of mailed it in. And again, there's no lead up to this. There's no, like, this should be so much more, but I just, to me, it's just a match. It just seems like it was just put together. And, I don't understand it, but I'm going to go Jeff Hardy, because it just makes no sense to put the title on Randy Orton again, who just lost it like a few weeks ago at WrestleMania. So has done nothing with that U.S. title. It was like a meaningless run, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just think that, you know, Jeff Hardy keeps it. But again, this is a matchup that I believe, wow, you look at it and you're like, wow, I can't miss this match. But then you'd be like, God damn, I wish I missed this match, because it just doesn't do anything for me anymore.
No, you're right. On paper, it seems really nice and really good to watch. You're like, wow, I'm going to be entertained watching this match. But again, for some weird reason, just chemistry never seems to flow whenever I see a match with Randy Orton. Whatever the reason might be, it just never seems to sit well with me personally. But I actually kind of disagree with you here, man. I think Randy Orton might be coming out of this victorious, because here's the thing. We've seen certain examples like this going a ways back. Jeff, remember Christian was the World Heavyweight Champion, had it for a day or 2 days, and then basically defended on SmackDown and then lost it to Randy Orton, because I felt they really felt they didn't believe that Christian could carry a title. Now, granted, it's the world title and this is the U.S. title right now, and there's a reason why you brought Jeff Hardy here.
Well, Spencer, because Randy Orton's U.S. title reign was so freaking unbelievable, they just have to put it on him again, right?
Yeah, well, ask yourself the question, Jeff, why do they put titles on Randy Orton? Because he's the safe bet.
Oh my God, he's the safe bet
in terms of what is presentable as a champion to them. And I think Randy Orton is that guy still. They've given, I think, in my opinion, maybe the whole gender match might have left a sour taste in the executive's mouth. And they've been like, you know what?
Maybe we'll switch
the title. So let's do that. So I think Randy Orton will be coming out the new U.S. champ.
Carmella defends her women's championship. Of course, she cashed in Money in the Bank, that SmackDown after WrestleMania, where Charlotte really had probably one of the best matches ever at Mania against Asuka. And then what do? They take the title away from Charlotte. And Carmella is your champion. Carmella has not wrestled in a long, long time. So here's a question that I point to you. Why did they freaking get rid of James Ellsworth? Because I think him in this spot would be great, because it would mask whatever, you know, deficiencies Carmella has. Because if you put this on paper, there is no way Carmella can lace up Charlotte's boots. But in the end, I think that they're not going to, you know, take the title away from, you know, Carmella just yet. She needs to have a title run, or else it would be a meaningless cash-in. So I'm going to go with Carmella. And, man, I would think a guy like Ellsworth would fit so well in a storyline like this, because she kind of needs that heel heat. And James Ellsworth, you know, helping Carmella win against Charlotte would be so great. So Ellsworth would have been a great spot right here. I don't know why, you know, they didn't feel like it, you know, they should continue their partnership, but this would have been a great spot for Ellsworth to still be in Carmella's corner.
You're right. Our boy Ellsworth would have been a great spot in this match, but unfortunately, he no longer works for the company, so that can be just thrown out of the equation. Because the what-if game, we could play that all day, Jeff. Ultimately, I think, you know, they don't plan on taking the title off of Carmella at all. They're really basing this on paper. It's a mismatch, and you would think there's no way Charlotte could ever lose to Carmella after what happened when she lost to her the first time. But the intangible factor, the X factor, if you will, are the Iconics.
There you
Peyton go. Royce and Billy Kay. I think they will be very vital in terms of helping Carmella retain her championship. And I think they're really trying to push, I feel, Charlotte off to the side a little bit, for the mere fact that I think they're trying to build them now in an Asuka run. And an Asuka run against Carmella and having her beat Carmella, I think would be maybe the new direction they're going in, and having Charlotte now team up with Becky Lynch, who's been, you know, where has she been, basically? She's been lost on SmackDown Live for a long period of time, too.
There's having no those two with her face on her, because I've not, you know, that is one of the worst booked people I've ever seen. In Becky
do they still
Lynch.
Do that?
Book?
No. Do they still put
no,
faces
but
on milk
saying, cartons? I'm just going old school there, you know, but I'm just saying, like, man, like, one of the worst booked people on that SmackDown roster is Becky Lynch. So,
I see them pitted up against the Iconics.
Let's talk about Asuka, too, man. She's not even on the card. She goes from winning the Royal Rumble to being undefeated to having an awesome WrestleMania match to then losing on SmackDown with Becky Lynch, and now she's not even on a card for Backlash. Whoa. Talk about not booking properly. All right, let's go to the Intercontinental Championship. Seth Rollins and The Miz. Listen.
Oh, man.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
No?
Go ahead.
Here's my thing. Seth Rollins, they need to get that IC title away from him. He needs to chase for the championship. he needs to chase for that WWE Universal Championship because he's better than that championship. I think Finn Balor should be in the mix, and I think that Finn Balor should be, you know, still be face and be the face of the IC Championship, take on all competitors, and I think that Seth Rollins needs to be in that title picture, that Universal title picture. What do you think? You have The Miz and Seth Rollins. Of course, The Miz is on SmackDown. Do you see any way The Miz can win here and maybe comes back to Raw with The Miztourage? Because that's been the rumor going around now lately. Or does Seth Rollins come out victorious? He's been having great matches with Finn Balor, had a great matchup at the Greatest Royal Rumble. What do you think is Seth's future with the IC Championship? Do they need to take it off of him because he deserves to be in that hunt for the Universal Championship?
I think what they're trying to do is they're building up Seth to be that workhorse to make the IC title, which you and I talk about countless times. It seems like years now of making that title relevant again, as much as Miz wants to stay claim for that, and he's done a pretty good job in terms of bringing some attention to it. But ultimately, for me, Joe, I'm just so sick and tired of seeing the same thing over and over again. To answer your question, I don't see the IC title changing hands to The Miz. I see Seth Rollins retaining because I can't see the IC title and the US title both on the same show, SmackDown Live, which would leave Raw with one title less than they need, unless they want to come out with a new title, television title, just a hint there. But I just don't see it happening. I want to see something different. I've seen Seth Rollins and The Miz several times. I do enjoy watching Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, and you and I have talked about that underlying tension where it feels like Finn now is getting frustrated. The whole smile, you know, and being really nice and kind, and, you know, it's starting to weigh on him where, you know, he's been close several times, and now it seems like maybe, you know, possibly a change in Finn's character might be in the near future. Maybe that's a long payoff, but I just want to see different matchups. I don't want to see Seth and The Miz anymore. I hope this is the last time we see it because I really feel we need to move on to something else. If you're going to make the title something relevant, and Seth Rollins is going to be your workhorse, let's see different matchups. Normally, when you're the Intercontinental Champion, you face everyone of all shapes and sizes and styles, and you make them great. And if Seth Rollins is the cash cow and is the main guy that, you know, I've heard Mark Henry talk about it on Busted Open, where he's like, this guy's on another level.
Be the greatest of all time, right?
Well, let's see him be the greatest of all time. Let's see him make other people look so good that they, all of a sudden they start focusing on the Intercontinental Championship. Let's give him the opportunity, because if he can prove that and do that successfully, there's no doubt Jeff, he should be Universal Champion or WWE Champion or whatever. But right now, this is his biggest proving point. He needs to prove this to us. But again, you're not going to do that when you've already been in a rivalry and you've wrestled Miz several times on pay-per-views, because ultimately, like this, we've seen it before. It gets stale pretty quickly.
Yeah, so in case I didn't make it clear, I've got Carmella beating Charlotte just because they're not going to take the title away from her.
Said that already.
Yeah, and I've got Jeff Hardy, I think, still retaining. And I think Seth Rollins, as much as I want him to push for that Universal Championship, because I'm thinking, I don't want to see Roman and Brock again. If Brock comes back by Money in the Bank,
Do
I really want to see him against Lashley? I think that is a disaster waiting to happen. As much as people were talking about it, maybe for SummerSlam, I don't think that Bobby Lashley, did you see him almost kill Big Cass at the Greatest Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, am I going to be bored by suplexes after suplexes? I don't know, man. I think Seth would be great to chase Brock Lesnar for that championship. I think it would be an awesome match, and I would think it'd be, you know, medium-sized guy against big guy, and I think that's what I want to see. I just don't like the idea of two big guys, you know, fighting because there's you have Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, which was good, but sometimes it just is not a good fit when you have two big guys fighting, you know, it just doesn't work. But let's go to the Raw Women's Championship, Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. Nia Jax is the current champion. She'll defend it this Sunday against Alexa Bliss. Just your thoughts on this one. I don't know, man. Could we see a quick change where Alexa Bliss becomes the champion here? Could you see maybe a possible interruption by Ronda Rousey? Could Mickie James get involved? Could Natalya get involved? You know, you don't know, but I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss becoming the champion once again.
Yes to everything except Alexa Bliss becoming the champion.
Yeah.
The only reason why it's like I think they want to move in another direction. You know, they've been building up similar to Braun Strowman. Nia Jax is this irresistible force, right? So you want to give it some time. Now, I thought it would have been better as Nia Jax is not necessarily the fan favorite in this sense.
Oh, I hate her as a face, dude.
You know, it's like when I talk to you about Seth Rollins as a babyface. It just doesn't do it for me. He's so much better as a hated champion. But again, this is the direction they're going. I think they have some investment in it.
And ultimately, the whole things that she's done with the bully campaign with Alexa Bliss is brutally bad. So
because
freaking
Nia
bad.
Should be the
it
bully.
Makes me want to stick my fingers in my eyes, into my brain, and swirl it around, Jeff, because it's that. It's worse than Bayley, this is your life, if that's possible. It's really that worse. And you chuckled a couple times, though, when she mentioned the two drumsticks in both hands with Nia Jax. So that was kind of funny. But, it's just I think they're going to be going in a direction where I think Alexa will be with Mickey, and they will be pitted against Ronda and Natty. And, you know, who's next for Nia Jax, I have no idea, but I think that's the direction they're going. I see Nia Jax retaining her championship and going for somewhat of a lengthy run here. And I don't think Alexa right now is going to be in the title picture.
I just find it hard to believe that Nia Jax is a face right now because, again, she should be a bully. It would set up a great match with Ronda Rousey or Natalya. But I guess if Alexa Bliss is the heel, someone's got to be the face. So
still too early for Ronda right now.
I'm going to go out. I'm going to go Alexa Bliss. I'm going to go she becomes the new Raw Women's Champion. And then that leads us to Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe. You know, a round of applause for Samoa Joe, who's been killing it with his promo. It's just amazing. Obviously he can talk in the ring, and now we got to see if he can back it up because...
Oh, Jeff, we know he can back it up.
I know, the injury bug has hit Samoa Joe a lot. He's had a lot of big runs, and then they've been, halted by that nagging injury. He had that leg injury, and now he's coming back from it. So
well,
the
first
see.
One was a knee. This was plantar fasciitis, which was a tear in the soleless foot. A lot of these are freak instances that, at the same time, look at the run he's had in his career. If they're starting now, obviously it's a downside, but I still think he can back it up, man.
Well, we will see. So your thoughts, though, Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe, it's interesting because who needs this more, this match? Are they going to go with Roman Reigns, losing and trying to hit rock bottom before that, before he eventually, finds it and then builds his way back up and then beats Roman, then beats Brock Lesnar for the championship? Or do we see, Roman Reigns take out all his frustrations on Samoa Joe? What are we going to see at Backlash this Sunday?
I think you're going to see exactly what you just said. You're going to see Roman Reigns trying to let out all his frustrations he had on Brock Lesnar and basically what Samoa Joe said about him and try to dish it out on him. Who needs it more? That's always an interesting question because we're like, how desperate somebody needs it, but not really. But if you're building up Samoa Joe after being gone away for such a lengthy period of time, I'm always a believer if you've been gone for quite a period of time due to injury and they're trying to build you up with so much momentum, it only makes sense that Samoa Joe would go over on this match just because it's going to keep building up that type of momentum for him on SmackDown Live. The difference is both these guys are on separate shows, so once this match is over, they're not going to see each other anymore. I hate to say that Roman Reigns is untouchable at this point, but I think he really is. I don't think it hurts him that he loses to Samoa Joe. Is it going to happen? I don't believe so. I think Roman Reigns goes over on Samoa Joe. This way he stays face on Raw, and then Samoa Joe just go to SmackDown Live. Basically not being defeated by a SmackDown Live wrestler, and he goes on to whatever storyline he goes to.
See, I think Samoa Joe wins. I think he goes to SmackDown with the momentum. And
I swerved you there. I said it makes sense, but
you did, and I'm going to say that
logic doesn't work in wrestling sometimes, Jeff.
But it makes sense that I think they're going to do it, and I think that they're going to go with Samoa Joe, and he's going to.
I hope
they
do.
He's going to be the next in line to face AJ Styles, and it's going to build him momentum. He needs this more. Roman Reigns again. They're going to go their separate ways, so I think this would really give a great victory for Samoa Joe heading into his potentially feud with AJ Styles, and I honestly see Samoa Joe being the champion eventually. Here. So
you got Joe,
I got
Roman Reigns.
And then finally, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship. We were talking about it before we opened the show. This has all the signs of AJ outsmarting Shinsuke Nakamura by, wearing a steel cup. It kind of is reminiscent of the Bret Hart wearing that steel armor when Goldberg went to spear him.
That metal plate.
That metal armor, that chest plate. And that's what I believe is going to happen. I don't want that to happen. I think this would be great for Shinsuke to come out the champion just because it solidifies his heel turn and makes it more impactful. But I don't think they don't – I really think they don't believe in Shinsuke Nakamura.
Let me ask you this. What's the better payoff? AJ, after all these actions that Shinsuke's done with the low blows, coming victorious and actually outsmarting Shinsuke, or Shinsuke doing all these low blows and ending up with the championship? What's more rewarding for you, despite the fact that this would solidify the heel turn for Shinsuke? From a storyline standpoint, what would be more rewarding for you?
Rewarding for me would be for it to solidify Shinsuke's...
Okay.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, there was a great Somebody on Twitter, a fan, wrote, how about Carl Anderson and Gallows turn their back on AJ Styles and they align with Shinsuke? And they form like a, you know, kind of like a, you know, but again, it's dumb because it makes Gallows and Anderson look like pathetic again. And again? Yeah, because
they've been kind of shifting back and forth from leaders to leaders.
So it makes them look pathetic again. And I mean, that's a great scenario. And I replied to the fan. I was like, you know, that makes so much sense, but WWE wouldn't do it. But I think Shinsuke needs it, but I think it's not going to happen because I think they're already in love with the Samoa Joe AJ Styles.
I think
they saw that, and I don't think they believe in Shinsuke, so I'm going to say that AJ Styles wins at SmackDown, and that's why it has all the signs of AJ Styles wearing a steel cup.
Yeah, I see AJ Styles retaining it. You know,
I think they're already in love. They're on to the next thing. I think
you're right. They're on to the next thing. Interesting scenario where Gallows and Anderson turn on him. I always think that's kind of cool and interesting. And it's always there.
I should have taken his Twitter account because it was smart. It was really smart.
Smart, but at the same time, it's smart for that short-term change, though, because in the long term, it makes no sense because, I don't know, for me, yeah, you could do that because they're sick and tired of AJ. They're sick and tired of being, like, you know, pushed around by leaders back and forth. But at the same time, if you're doing that to go now side with Shinsuke, that's fine. Or if you just do that for that one moment, you move on, and now AJ rivals with Gallows and Anderson, I guess. But it's interesting, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why you would
do
it.
It's kind of too much, right?
It's a little too much. It's like it's something you and I would understand because of the whole Bullet Club situation. We'll talk about in a few. But, yeah, not a lot of people in terms that watch WWE would probably understand the significance of a turn like that.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, so do you think AJ Styles is going to come out victorious?
Yeah, I said AJ Styles is going to come out victorious and retain the title.
Yeah, so there you go. That is our Backlash preview. It is this Sunday from our backyard in Newark, New Jersey at The Rock, the Prudential Center. And it is live on the WWE Network at 7 p.m. The show starts at 8, of course, in the one-hour pre-show. I don't know if they're going to have a pre-show match. I believe it might be maybe the Bar versus the New Day. But, you know, the SmackDown roster is, you know, very loaded as far as the tag team division. So we'll see.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about those titles. The SmackDown tag team titles are championships on the line, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think so. I think the bar. Oh no! Wait, no, they're not. I'm sorry, but you would think the titles would be on the line.
You would think so, right? Yeah,
you would think so. Yeah, because they haven't promoted that. Yeah. They haven't promoted that at all.
See, that's how great and that's how great they've done promoting this. I don't even know the tag team titles on the line. I looked at the WWE page.
I was thinking about the Royal Rumble event where they had a chance at the Raw titles and they failed at doing that. Yeah, now they're on SmackDown exclusively, the bar. Yeah, but the tag team titles are not even online. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And
unbelievable.
And everyone, you
know. Yeah, flipping through our pages, which are blank completely. There's nothing on. It's just for show.
We've got the table read gimmick sheets in front
we
of us.
Did that gimmick way before the Elite did, Jeff.
All right, man.
Because
so
my character doesn't know anything right now.
So let's wrap up some loose ends, man.
Sure.
New Japan Pro Wrestling, and this is where you were talking about so much going on in pro wrestling, right?
Yeah.
You were talking to the Moody Barber about New Japan, and you still got to catch up. Congratulations to Marty Scurll and the Young Bucks for becoming the never open weight champions, I think being Tama Tonga, Bad Luck Fale, and Tonga Loa for those titles in Japan. So much going on, and then Mike Johnson from PW Insider kind of breaking news saying that Chris Jericho is expected to return to wrestling at Dontaku in Fukuoka, Japan.
That's a tongue twister.
I know, this weekend, and it's going to set up a feud with Naito. Of course, Jericho did that, you know, after his matchup with Kenny Omega, kind of set up that feud, and Jericho, again, trolls us everybody, saying that he wasn't going to work with New Japan again, that relationship is over. But if all reports are true and he comes back to Japan, it's going to set up a great rivalry with Naito. And again, Chris Jericho gets the best of everyone because this is a guy who's come back and wrestled on WWE TV, is going to go back to wrestle for New Japan, and most likely at the G1 special when they go to San Francisco in July. What an amazing guy Chris Jericho is. For him to get his face on WWE TV whenever he wants, come back for Raw 25, and then he gets to wrestle Naito on July 4 the G1. I mean, he just is the best of all time.
He's the ultimate magician. He really is. It's unbelievable because he's just the master showman, and there are very few left of that, Jeff, from our glory days of watching professional wrestling, where you know somebody can actually keep a secret, something isn't leaked. And if this is the case, again, I'm not going to speculate whether the deal was done and he was just kind of showboating and kind of throwing people off the scent of him actually doing this. But again, it's great that he's going to be working with New Japan again, if that's actually going to happen, that they came at the, some type of deal and agreement in terms of money. And to see him in a feud with Naito, basically just picking up right where they left off just after he lost to Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom, to me, it's exciting. And it's something new, and that's something we don't see a lot of sometimes in professional wrestling, because a lot of things are mimicked and repeated. So kudos to Jericho for always being innovative and always keeping things fresh.
And how about this? Congratulations to Kane, who now is official, who won the Republican primary for the, you know,
by 17 votes.
By 17 votes. Glenn Jacobs will represent the Republican Party for mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. Congratulations to the Big Red Machine. It's gotta be Kane.
Yes, Kane. Yes, yes.
Who would have thought? Only, you know, as wrestling fans, you gotta be proud of this, right? You gotta be proud of this. In wrestling, how many people have succeeded outside of professional wrestling? And now Kane, Glenn Jacobs, we want to congratulate him. You know, I'm gonna say he's the next mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm gonna call it now.
That'd be fair to
17
say.
Votes. That's close, man.
It's close, really close. But at the same time, I think it just proves a point, Jeff. I think what you're trying to make is that, you know, a lot of people joke around about how, you know, WWE superstars or quote-unquote wrestlers moving into either movies or the political field or just anything in general, oh, these are just dumb Neanderthals. I mean, just look at the proof is in the pudding, man. It's like, you know, these people are well-qualified. They're entertainers. They know how to engage an audience and a crowd. And by all means, they're smart. These people are smart, guys. They have a brain, and they use it very well. And to me, it's just a great another step in terms of, like, well, this isn't the first time. I mean, Jesse the Body Ventura did become mayor of Minnesota.
And we have a WWE Hall of Famer in the White House.
Exactly. And so, like, WWE is kind of all around and has their hand in everything. And just congratulations to Kane, Glenn Jacobs for you know, I listened to a lot of his campaign speeches. And, you know, I think, you know, ultimately, I believe in what he says in terms that he wants to do something positive in the community, because, you know, he can't wrestle forever. He could be the Big Red Machine, but he wants to move on to other things. What better thing to move in the political field and try to help his community out?
And don't be fooled by the wrestler. He's a very, you know, smart guy.
Yeah.
With a lot of great ideas.
That's what everybody thinks, though. If you're a wrestler, they think you're a Neanderthal, you don't know anything, and you're dumb.
Yeah, so congratulations to Glenn Jacobs, who wins the Republican primary, and now will, you know, will be the lead in what most likely will be, you know, become the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. So congratulations to him. Seth Radican of the PWTorch.com reports that Keith Lee will sign with WWE. And, of course, we saw Keith Lee at Pro Wrestling Magic, actually. He took on Cody Rhodes. He's impressive for a big guy. He was actually in the developmental, left, and now he's coming back because he made his name for himself on the independents. A little on the north of 30. He is 33. But again, this is another sign that WWE is looking everywhere for these talents. Of course, they say that he will, join NXT at the end of May when his dates on the indies are, you know, completed. So just your thoughts on Keith Lee.
Congratulations goes out to him. We've seen him perform only once live, and even that with Cody was so impressive and so cool to watch. For a man his size and even his age, I mean, you know, a lot of people think 30 is old, but at the same time, you know, sometimes you can pull back the hands of time a little bit. Exactly, especially in the wrestling business. But ultimately, for a guy his size, the way he moves in the ring is impressive. He's obviously very astute in terms of psychology in the ring, so I'm happy for him. I really am. I'm a little sad, so it's kind of bittersweet because I love seeing him on an independent scene. It's much easier to get access to kind of see his matches now. Of course, he's going over to NXT, which would be great, and he'll be slowly built up, or hopefully maybe faster than sooner than later on the main roster. But to me, I just feel excited, but also a guy with his talent, you know, talk about like the main roster. It's like the land of the giants. You know, he might have been a giant in a small pool, but now he's going to a big ocean. So hopefully he doesn't get lost in the shuffle. But again, so excited for Keith Lee.
Trendsetter with the amazing references there.
Trying.
What do you call those?
What I'm saying?
Yeah, quotes. Are you using quotes or?
Oh, metaphors?
Yeah. See, you're so much smarter than me, Trendsetter. Keith Lee, I believe.
Well, it's like 91 degrees, so I'm actually in a better mood. It's supposed to be like, dealing with a cold every now and then.
Hey, just type in YouTube Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle, and you'll see just how good Keith Lee is. That's all you need to do.
And Matt Riddle.
If you can get, if you get that video on YouTube with Pro Wrestling Magic, and it's out there between Cody and Keith Lee, take a look at that one, too, because that is a great match, too. Mm-hmm. Man, happy birthday to The Rock, 46 years young. The People's Champion. What can you say about The Rock, man? I mean, talk about a success story. Talk about The Rock maybe potentially being our future president. Talk about The Rock, you know, just doing everything he's doing right now in Hollywood, and just he's become a brand. He's become, like, bigger than anything right now, and he is 46 years young. I feel old, man. I remember seeing The Rock coming out with the Nation of Domination. Talk about a guy that couldn't, you know, that the fans despised when he came out because they thought he was the chosen one, right? Talk about, you know, how he needed that heel turn, that run, you know, to get him going.
Not and then just a heel turn.
Then became the People's Champion.
Yeah, but to me, it's more than just a heel turn, Jeff. It's just he had the ability to kind of voice out all of his frustrations and everything he wanted to say. And probably you get that more when you're a heel. But back then, you know, obviously back then when we watched wrestling and really date ourselves, compared to now, it's a little bit different now because WWE is a public-owned company. So you probably can't get away with a lot of stuff The Rock said back then nowadays.
Different time.
Different time, obviously, different era. But, yeah, it's super happy birthday to The Rock, man. It's like it's amazing. I said before previously, you can't, you know, hold back the hands of time. But, you know, for 46 years old, Rock looks great. He's always been in tremendous shape. And his is really, truly, Jeff, when we break it down to professional wrestling, or just in terms of life in general, Jeff, a true rags-to-riches story. Talked about how he had like $4 or $8 in his pocket.
Remember Mark Henry would actually, you know, had him stay over at his place when he started out.
Yeah.
Because he really didn't have the money. He
really, somebody had nothing. And now he's the highest paid movie action star in the world right now. And
probably the greatest crossover athlete ever of all time, from wrestling to now, probably the most successful in WWE and wrestling history.
And in terms, when people say, you know, when you do it the right way, you could say that about The Rock. I mean, he paid his dues. He did everything he could to be the best in professional wrestling, did it, wanted to move on to something else, got a lot of ridicule for that, and then went into another world that was completely new to him. But you know what? He did the work. He put the time in. He never once took a day off or tried to find a shortcut, and you know, he's reaping the benefits of it as well. And so it's very inspiring for whether you're a wrestling fan or you're just a fan of The Rock or Dwayne Johnson in general. You know, if you have that grit and determination, you can achieve anything.
Definitely, definitely. It is a great success story. So happy birthday to The Rock. And, of course, happy 5th anniversary to the Bullet Club. Too sweet. 5 years and all the incarnations of this, from Finn Balor, all of, you know, to AJ Styles to Kenny Omega. Probably the most successful has been under AJ as far as, like, you know, with championships. But as far as notoriety, it's been Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and the Elite and everything they've done. They've changed the business. We thank them on Twitter, you know, for 5 years of changing the business, for making it better, for making it fun again. And, you know, just the Bullet Club. It's Bullet Club Day, actually, when we're recording this. So a happy 5th anniversary to the Bullet Club and many more. Just your thoughts on the Bullet Club.
Oh, man, what can I say that hasn't been said?
It'd be a whole show.
We could spend a whole show next week talking about the Bullet Club. But ultimately, yes, you kind of spoke about it, Jeff, where it went through these transitions of change from the start to the middle to where it is right now, and hopefully not the end for any time soon. Just so much appreciation goes out to it, because it's like you said, you know, we go in this whole political race where we're making America great again. Finally, we have a group and a situation in professional wrestling where actually professional wrestling, despite the fact that we critique it a lot and we criticize it because that's just in our nature, it is fun again, because there's just so much content. Like I told you in the beginning of the show, it's so exciting to see so much stuff out there and be exhausted and be like, man, I need to take a little break. Believe it or not, I'm actually saying it. I need to take a little break from professional wrestling. It's always a great problem to have.
It is everywhere.
Always a great problem to have. And a lot of it has been when it's come to the Elite, being the Elite on the YouTube channel, to, you know, what Fergal Devitt did when he wanted to create a club with Carl Anderson, with Luke Gallows, and all the other members of the Bullet Club at the early stages of it to where it is now. It's been an honor for us to see the progression of it. And, you know, what's more exciting is that, you know, I only think, Jeff, they've only scratched the surface of where this can go, not necessarily in terms of a group, of a faction, but in terms of what professional wrestling can go to is in business. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
And of course, being the Elite will return, which is great news for us. I love that that series that they have on YouTube, so definitely subscribe to that. And I don't think they need our plug for that, man. They're killing it. So Being the Elite will return, we found out this week. And of course, All In, the press conference is on May 13th. Tickets will go on sale, too, that same day. And we'll have an official announcement that week of May 13th of what we're going to do. I mean, it's kind of not a surprise, but we can't really make anything official till the 13th. But looking forward to that week and that press conference, because I'm sure you're going to get some matches. I'm sure you're going to get some more announcements, too, like about tickets when they'll be on sale. StarCast packages will begin on May 15th. So lots about All In. PWG Battle of LA will be held at the Globe Theater on September 14th to the 16th. Last year's winner was Ricochet, so that's interesting news too, so good for them. And now, Trendsetter, man, we got a bit to do. We want to thank Michelle Dahlia for joining us here on the High Spot Podcast this week. You can listen to us on the G-Pops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman's baby. They are the flagship show with Between the Ropes on every Wednesday. We've got the Cosmic Geppetto. We've got Sports Guys Talking Wrestling with Stu Myers and Justin Simmons. Catch interviews from the 53rd Annual Cauliflower Alley Club Reunion. Got Stick to the Gimmick, recapping everything in NXT. And also on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks. You can listen to such shows as Kickin' Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, A Drink with Gino, A Shot of Wrestling, and of course, Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty. Mark Adam Haggerty, we love you, pal. Hope all is well. Trendsetter, another great show.
Another great show, and no surprise by us, guys. You guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I'm the Trendsetter, Brian Berger. Thanking you guys so much for the crew for listening to this week's episode. We will catch you again down the road. And remember, we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.
Too sweet.
One sweet.
I'm taking the car.
Hold on, just wait there.
What? But that's our garage.
What's your name?
I just want to get my dad's car out of the garage.
Your name?
It's Annabelle.
Annabelle. No, your name's not down. You're not coming in.
Who says?
The management. Your parents.
Dad!
Esso Synergy Supreme Plus Fuels. Our best ever protection for your engine. Perfect for people who care about their car as much as we do. Claims based on current versus previous Esso Synergy Supreme Plus formulation. See esso.co.uk for details.